Let us pray. It is our desire to know you. So, Lord, speak to us. Open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I will continue my talk on the eight men in Genesis. Today, we are going to talk about the fourth man, Noah. Now, why would I talk about these eight men? So, this is how we started the introduction. It's about what is the purpose of creation? Why did God create heaven and earth? In Genesis, we see in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. But look at this. How come the war out in the world we live right now, how come there are wars, famine, all this sin around us, all this corruption around us? What does God want in the end? So when we look in the Bible, in the future, God is going to achieve something. He is going to have a new heaven and a new earth. So, old earth, old creation will pass away. New creation is coming. But what's the difference? In the new creation, we see something that really touches God's heart. In chapter 21, verse 3 in the book of Revelation, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man." So throughout the history of man, God is going to achieve something. He wants you. That's why you are here. He wants you to be with him in eternity. He wants you. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So the creation of new heaven and new earth is for God will be with you in eternity. He prepares something for you and me in eternity. So, but what kind of man God wants? Is it the people in the first creation? Like the world we are living in today? No, we can see the new man's character in God's heart. So from the eight men, we can see what God wants in man. What God wants in you. In Adam, we talk about God gave him the God's image. He has the likeness and the image of God. God gave him the authority. God gave him the free will. Why? Is it because he can choose either tea or coffee? No, the free will is not about making choices. The free will is about what is most important to you. You want to obey God, to be with him, or you want something else? So the free will is talk about, do you choose God? Do you love him? So Adam has a chance to show he loved God, but he did not. So how about you today? Do you want to show in making choices? Why do you come on Sunday morning? You want to tell God, I want to choose you. You are important in my life. And in Cain, Cain used his hard work to please God with his offering. But Abel cannot please God by his hard work. He only relied on the sacrifice of the lamb. Now we know the lamb refers to Christ. That means when man comes before God, he realized he has to depend on Christ, not my hard work, not I can save myself, not I can please God with what I try to do, but I have to totally trust in the work of the dying of the lamb, the sacrifice of the lamb to please God. So man has become humble before God, humility. God doesn't want a proud being to be with him. God wants man to be humble before him. And last time we talked about Enoch, how he walked with God. And in New Testament, Jesus said, follow me. So it talks about this following. It means a relationship is building up. Why? Because in knowing him, just like the song we sang just now, we know how great he is. We know how lovable he is. We love him. So this following him, walk with him, speaks of love. Now, today we are talking about the fourth person, Noah. Of course, you think of the ark, you think of all the animals that two by two entering the ark. But let's focus on Noah himself. In Genesis 6, what happens at the what is the background of the story? At that time, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So man turns evil. And the Lord was sorry that he has made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah is special. In what way? Everyone was evil. Somehow Noah was special. What is so special about him? Noah was a just man. In verse 9 it says, perfect in his generation. This perfect compared to others, he was perfect. And in the Bible, talk about this again. Not just Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Then you may ask, what's the difference between Noah and Enoch? They both walked with God. But God took Enoch to heaven. He did not face death. But yet God walked with Noah. Noah walked with God. What's the difference? So we notice the first thing, Bible talk about him. Noah worked with God. Walked with God. Now last time we talk about Abel. When we talk about walk with someone, we think about, hey, where are you going? You want to go to Auburn? How to go to Auburn? By train or by bus? Or driving? If I go with you, are you going to be my burden? You walk too slow. I don't like to take trains. If I go with you, you are going to help me. Or are you going to be my burden? So when we think about walk with someone, we think about the means, the destination. But in here, the Bible does not say where did God took Enoch or God took Noah. It does not say tell us the destination. It seems to talk about their relationship going on, going on, going on. So it's about the process. You know, when you walk with someone, you are sharing the experience. Oh, look at the beautiful sky. Oh, it's raining. Oh, this is a very hard walk. Oh, we are so tired. Now, when you walk together with someone, you share your life. You share your experience. He can understand you are tired. He said, come on, let's go, keep going. You know, you encourage one another. So by walking with someone, your life knitted together. You know him and you love him. So it's about walk with someone, it's about relationship building. The more you know about him, the friendship grows. The relationship builds up stronger. He's my best friend in times of trouble, isn't it? So walk with someone is not about destination or means. It's about love building up. So this is about Enoch, but how about Noah? In the second thing I want to point out about Noah is about in the blue. But let's read together. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So when you walk with God, God shares to you about his plan. Have you ever heard about God share with you? What is in his heart? Do you ever question? Why? What's going on? The world is like this. Are you going to do something? Would you talk to God about what you see? And God will talk to you what he's going to do, isn't it? Do you have a relationship with God? In here, God told him, make yourself an ark. So Noah's life, the second point I want to point out is he is going to make an ark. Now, what does it mean? We'll talk about that later. God gives him the instruction. With gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. So God did not ask him to do something and did not give him any help or instruction. So when God asks you to do something, He will tell you how to do it. Whenever God asks you to do something, He will tell you how to do it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width about 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window of the ark, and you shall finish it to the cubit from above. And set the door of the ark in its inside. You shall make it lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heavens all flesh in it. Is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So before the flood comes, God told him to prepare an ark. If you don't do it, sorry. If you don't take action, you will die as well. So when God tells you to just do something, you need to respond, isn't it? You need to do it. Believe in Jesus. Do it. Accept Christ. Do it. You have to respond, isn't it? And it continued, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. Go into the ark. The ark speaks of salvation. Of course, we know that ark points to Christ. For those who are in Christ will be saved. Are you in the ark? Think about this. Are you outside? Think about this. You can swim, maybe, but for how long? How long you can swim? I can swim for 1 year. I wonder if you can. You bring your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and of everything, living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. So the ark is not about just saving Noah, but saving the world. Keep the living things inside. They shall be male or female. The birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping things of the world, earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. It's about keeping things alive. It's about life. You want life? Go into the ark. Outside the ark, death is coming. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. So what did Noah did? He did. Noah did. Did you react? Did you respond to God? According to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, I know many of you hear about the gospel, hear about Lord Jesus for a long time. But did you take action? Did you do as the Lord told you to do? So the second point is about building the ark. The third thing, in Hebrews, it tells us something different. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. There's a fear. God is not joking. Moved with godly fear. Do you fear God? Think about the consequence. With godly fear, prepared an ark. Just now, what we say, he walked with God, he prepared an ark. The third thing he do, for the savings of his household, which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is according to faith. So what he did when he prepared the ark, at the same time, he condemned the world. So the third thing is about his relation to the world. When he's preparing the ark, he's telling the world, God is judging. You are wrong. We are living in a wrong way, condemning the world. So in 2 Peter, it talked about him as well. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. So his life speaks of righteousness. Righteousness. So he lived a life preparing the ark. At the same time, he's condemning the world by living a world of a life of righteousness. The whole world lives in unrighteousness, not right in God's eye. But Noah lives in righteousness. You live in righteousness, that means you are condemning the world. When everybody lies, but yet you stay honest, you are condemning all the liars. You are not saying bad things about them, but being righteous, being honest, you are condemning the liars. So God called him to live a righteous life. God called you and me to live in this world a righteous life. God called you to live among your students, your classmates. Everybody doing this thing, you know is wrong, but yet you live differently. You choose differently. Then you are living a life of righteousness. Then you are condemning them as well. They are not happy with you. But so be it. So walking with God does not means you are not following the crowd. Living with God. Now, what's the difference between Enoch and Noah? When we studied Enoch, it seems he lives very secretly in my imagination. People may not know about, notice him, but secretly he has a close relationship with God. But in Noah, he's different. He lives among the people. And yet God called him to live a different life. That means you have to walk with God in the world. In this hostile world, people may be hostile to God, angry with God. But when you walk with God, you are not secretly hiding. I'm a secret Christian. Nobody knows. Everybody blaspheme against God or Jesus, and you say nothing about it. Secretly, I'm a secret Christian. No. You have to bear witness to what you believe. You are not following the world. Do not conform to this world. Is it wrong? You know, this world will give you, you want to live a good life? You need this. You want to live a good life? You need a smartphone, the latest one. If you want to get this smartphone, you have to work very hard, earn the money. Then your whole life will be working very hard, get the money to get the iPhone, or to be a millionaire. Or you want to win a Nobel Prize in your study, you have to work very hard. So you spend all your time, energy, effort to chase your dreams. So this world will sell you a lot. You want money? You want iPhone? You want this? You want this? Work for it. Study hard for it. No time. Don't waste time to go to Sunday, to go to worship God. He will turn your focus to get things in this world. This is your dream. You want someone who loves you? Your whole life will become chasing for a Prince Charming. Your whole life will be chasing for something you love. Then you won't have time for God. So this world draws people's attention by selling them, fulfill your dreams. You will live happier. What's in your heart? What are you chasing today? You study, you want to get good grades. Is it to fulfill your dreams, or are you doing it for God? I study, I work hard, because this is God put me in this position. I want to please Him. You want to please Him, or you are chasing your dreams? Only you know in your heart. Both are studying very hard, but someone studying for himself, chasing his dream in this world. So what is in your heart? So walking with God does not mean you have to live in the quiet location to be a hermit, away from all temptation. Oh, so I can now, no other distraction, no more Wi-Fi distraction. I just focus on God. No, you don't have to be like that. You are not living a life of a hermit. You are not trying to escape from reality, living in a fantasy world. But you are living a soberly life. You know what you are doing. You want to please God. That doesn't mean we are, oh, I don't want this, I don't need that, I don't need that. Oh, only Bible, only praise to God. No. Actively living with purpose, hope and faith. So we Christians are not hermit. We are not chasing some other religious dream. We have a purpose to live. We know why we are here. Do you know why you are here? Is it someone who forced you to come this morning? Or do you choose to come because I have a purpose? I want to know God. I want to serve Him. So, walking with God, Noah walking with God, have a close relationship with God. But not in a dream, but in this world. If you can't love God today, don't think you love God when all the other temptations are gone. They are here to distract you. Because I would like to say this. You love God not because there's nothing else than you love God. You love God because there are many things, but yet you still say, God, you are the most important, the best. This are nothing compared to you. So you still love God even in this world. There are many distractions. Many things trying to draw you away from God. Sometimes you stumble. Sometimes you fail. But yet, after I failed, you climb up, walk back, stand up straight again. Oh, I failed. But yet, you give me strength. I will come up and follow you again and again. No matter how many times I fall, rise up again. Lord, I still want to follow you. Just like Peter, he failed once, twice. No matter how many times you failed, God is still important. Is He still important? He is the most important person in our life. This is what I mean with walking with God. Even though you failed, even though there are many distractions in this world, something you lost, something make you cry, and yet again and again you come back before Him. Lord, I love you. This is what I mean. And He prepared the ark. When you prepare the ark, I have no experience. I'm not a builder. What does an ark like? Just like building a house upside down. Why would I need something at the bottom? Why need gopher wood? Where can I get the gopher wood? How can I cut the big chunk of wood? There are only four men, three sons and Noah, or just four men. How can he build a big ship like that? Big ark like that. He has to think, concentrate his effort and his time. There are lots of difficulty. How to make, do they have good weapon tools to make the ark? Do they have nails? How can they stick it together? It's difficult. If you try to make something, you know how difficult it is. If you try to live a relaxed life, doing nothing is easy. But if you want to do something, then you face difficulty. When you try to do something and you may fail, it doesn't work this way. How about this way? So again and again, it will test you how sincere you are to do God's will. Facing challenges and still trusting on God, focusing on God's word, but not man's mocking. So sometimes we are facing a lot of peer pressure. Going to church? Studying Bible? Are you a Christian? Look at you! You failed! You sin just like me! Yet you say yourself a Christian? they mock you. Yes, you failed in truth, but people mock you. Do you still live according to what people expectation? Do you want everybody to praise you when you do God's will? People may hate you. Building an ark? What a silly old man. You must be dreaming. People mock at you. And still, you are not being influenced by them, following God's instruction, step by step. Not one day, not 2 days. Persevere. 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 Continue. So, Noah lived a building life. Step by step, step by step, he built something great. What are you building today? You want to go home and build an ark? What are we building today? Jesus said, and I also say to you in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, you are Peter, and on this rock, Jesus, I will build my church. I will build my church. This is the ark I'm talking about. Today, God is building his church. Why I am here today? Why I'm talking here today? Why I'm sharing this with you today? Because Jesus is building his church. Jesus is building you, building me, prepare us. We are a part in this ark. We are the ark. Jesus is the ark. We are a part in his body. We are his body. So Paul very clear why his purpose on earth is. Paul said to him, said to the people in Corinthians, we are God's fellow workers. Everybody workers. You are workers. Oh, my dream is to be an architect. Oh, my dream is to be a doctor. Oh, my dream is to be a musician. My dream is to be a driver. Oh, not a driver. Astronaut. Something like that. No matter what your dream is, you are workers for God. You are God's field. You are God's building. God is building something for eternity. So what I'm doing here is building you up. Knowing God, knowing God's purpose, knowing his character. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul said he is a builder. I have laid the foundation. Oh, I'm being built. I have to do nothing. Oh, you sit here. Oh, I'm like a brick. You give me something. Give me something. No. And other builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. You come to build as well. You are building we are building one another up as well. That's why I asked Eva to come out to sharing. His words of encouragement is building you up. So she is doing God's purpose today, just now. Next week, maybe Lyndon. Are you okay? Okay, so next week is Lyndon. Force you. So everyone can be a part in God's work, building. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's not about how good you are, but it's about how faithful you are. You respond to God. Someone may be stronger, take a bigger chunk. I'm weaker. I can only take this. That's fair. Not only the strong can build God's work, even though as weak as I am, I can still be a part in God's work. So everyone can be a part in this work. Don't compare because I'm not as good as him, I'm not as so good. Doesn't matter. It's about your faithfulness. It's about how you work. It's about your heart to God. It's not about how good when you compare to others. So how he builds on it. So the last part I'm saying, he condemned the world. What does it mean, he condemned the world? Live a holy life to bear witness of righteousness. Just now I talk about when the whole world dreams about getting things for this world. You are sober. You know all these things will pass away. Even if I got a mansion, when I die, I can't take the mansion away. In new heaven and new earth, this mansion won't stand there. So my whole life is not building a mansion. My whole life is not getting a woman I want. My whole life is building God's work, a part in God's work. I want to live a life to testify God himself. In 1 Peter, it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of someone who wants to serve God. He does not live in the flesh for the lust of man, but for the will of God. So God wants us to live for the will of God, not satisfying our flesh, not living for our lust. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime. Look at the past time. You waste a lot of time in getting what you want, in doing the will of the Gentiles. When you walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelry, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to this, they think it's strange that you do not run with them. The world will think you are a strange person. What's wrong with you? How come you are not like us? In the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So the world, when Christians live a holy life, this world will mock him. Think you are strange. You are a monster. You are different. You are an alien. Actually, the Bible says we are aliens in this world. We are from another world. Matthew, it says, let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we should live a different life. Our life shines into darkness. Remember, in him was life. The life was the light of men. And then what's next? The darkness cannot overcome it, isn't it? The light shines into darkness. This is our life. The light shines into the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. So this is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Christian. In him was life. The life was the light of man. Isn't it? You should remember. So this is my message today. What we have learned about Noah. He walked with God, close with God, even in a hostile world. So walking with God in this world. He prepared the ark. Are you doing God's work according to God's way? And he lived a holy life to condemn the world. So this is someone that please God. So may our life be something like this. Walk with God in difficult situation in this world. Our whole life focus on doing the work of God, which is building up the church. And we live a holy life to let the world see the light shines into darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. We cannot be overcome by the darkness. Let our life shine. So this is my message today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You called and saved Noah. And you called us before you to walk with you in this world. And help us to focus our life, that our life has a purpose to serve you and to know you. And let our life be a testimony, shines in this darkness, and let the whole world see what a wonderful God we have. Help us, Lord, to walk faithfully with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.